Father, we thank you for your word and your spirit that's alive in us. What a time to be alive. We are not of those who draw back to our own perdition, but we are of those who believe to the saving of our soul. Our mind, our will, and our emotions are changed. We just thank you for all that you're going to show us this morning. We love you. We love you. It's not lip service. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Bill had a word, interlude. I think he said, I just keep hearing interlude this morning. He said, something big is coming. And we're kind of, it's the calm before the storm, you know, we're kind of right there on the precipice of it. I believe that's true. We want to continue our series this morning on Me, Myself, and I. We're talking about the dangers of self-centeredness. There's danger in living a self-centered life. If you put yourself at the center, even of your Christianity, of your prayer life, of your witnessing, of whatever it is, it will wind up off center quickly because you are not created to be the center of all things. There is one who is already the center of all things, and his name is Jesus. So we're talking about the dangers of self-centeredness, thinking only of yourself, serving only yourself, being loyal only to yourself, versus living Christ-centered, living a Christ-centered life. And so we're talking about instead of asserting yourself, you choose daily to surrender yourself to Jesus. How many of you know it's a daily thing? If you go through traffic, it's a minutely thing. You're always needing to surrender yourself to Jesus. And why do we do it? Because we want Jesus to be our expression. I want it to be true about me and Elizabeth and Gary that when people see us, they see him. That's my prayer. So we surrender ourselves so that Christ can be expressed. And when we die to ourselves, the resurrection life of Christ becomes evident and comes forth, is revealed in and through us. We all battle a default mindset towards self-centeredness. You can thank Adam for that. You can thank the fall in the Garden of Eden for our default towards the flesh or towards me-first-ism. So we have to continually, everybody say continually, we have to continually give ourselves to Jesus for retraining. We need to be retrained. And it's been a sad thing that I've witnessed, I guess, that maybe it's become more clear the last year or so, that the body of Christ, even though we were born again, we weren't allowing the Holy Spirit to retrain us in how life is to be lived. We kept borrowing from the world still for how we're going to be, and we just made Jesus kind of a component of, you know, some of our selfishness. You know, if you're not careful in the Western world of Christianity, you can be promised that, hey, you give your life to Jesus, he works for you. I mean, he'll make you healthy and wealthy and wise. You'll never have a problem. He'll do whatever you say. He's your genie in a bottle, your cosmic errand boy. Jesus didn't preach that. And that's a wicked, wicked deception in the West. Jesus taught that you're liable to lose your own life for him. But he actually believed the Father and his kingdom was worth losing your life for. He really thought that much of the Father. What a radical idea. That the Father wasn't just something we add to ourselves, but we give all for him. So we're all signed up for retraining. Amen. Amen. Jesus is training us right now how to overcome the flesh, how to overcome self-centeredness by the Spirit within. Aren't you glad the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you? The disciples knew Jesus better after he left than when they walked with him for 3 years, because the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that was in him, came in them. The things of God, but the Spirit of God. So it wasn't until the Spirit of God, we quit reading things in the Gospels, especially John, where the disciples said to themselves, we don't know what he's talking about. But once the Holy Spirit comes, it's Spirit to Spirit. And the Spirit enlightens the truth of what the Spirit is saying. Amen. So real talk right here, real talk. How many of you really want to follow Jesus? You want to be his disciple? Come on, raise your hand. See, I believe that. I knew you'd answer that way. And I feel the same way. Let's look at Matthew 16:24. Amplified Bible. We want to be your disciples, Lord. That is our heart. And I believe it. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself. Let him disregard, lose sight of, forget himself in his own interest. Take up his cross and follow me. Take up his cross and follow me. Cleave steadfastly to me. Conform sometimes wholly to my example in living and, if need be, in dying. All right? Jesus didn't preach the mamby-pamby gospel. Mark 8:34 amplified. Jesus called to him the throng of his with his disciples and said to them, if anyone intends to come after me, let him deny himself. Look at this one. Let him forget himself, ignore himself, disown himself, lose sight of himself and his own interests. Which don't balk at it. It's in Philippians chapter 2, which is verse 1-5, which has been a core verse for this entire year. Amen. Let no one look after his own interests, but for the interests of others. Do nothing from selfish ambition and empty conceit. So look what he says. Lose sight of himself, his own interests. And then here it is again. Take up his... Do crosses sound fun to you? I agree. And he says, joining me as a disciple and siding with my party. Everybody say, my party.
My party.
That'll preach in today's world. Jesus has a party? You bet he does. Oh, well, no, I'm a Republican. No, I'm a Democrat. Well, you need to be in his party. Because if your Republican party or your Democratic party says or does anything contrary to what the Master has taught us in Scripture, you better reject it. Stop getting your identity from I'm a Republican or I'm a Democrat and sign up as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And then I belong to the government of the kingdom of God in the earth. And I'll always side with them. And here's a novel idea. If you're a quote Republican and a Democrat actually says something truthful, then get on board with it. If you're a Democrat and a Republican says something that's truthful and helps the nation, get on board with it.
Yes.
Why? Because your allegiance and your identity is not a political party.
Yes.
It's Christ.
Amen.
We have to be the solution to all the division and discord in this country. We do not take up rocks and join in that nonsense. Be the answer you want to see. Be the change you want to see in this country.
Amen.
Amen. So he says, join me as a disciple and side with my party. Follow with me. I love that. In other words, come alongside of me. He's not saying walk 10 feet behind me, Jonathan. No, Jonathan, walk with me. Be right alongside with me, cleaving steadfastly to me. How about another one? This is no gospel of convenience. Can I get a witness? This whole idea, I think it came from a good place. We wanted people to know the Lord. We wanted people to be saved. We didn't want any of our loved ones going to hell. But this idea of just saying, hey, just pray the prayer, man, it's easy. That's a deception.
Amen.
Yes, pray the prayer and invite him in. Receive him. You're not praying a prayer. You're receiving a person. You're receiving his spirit into your spirit. And then prepare to die. Amen. The numbers of people that sign the card might go down. But that's okay. Let's tell them the truth. Well, we're gonna see change in this country. We're gonna see it. We're not going to just wait around and play church and do this and do that. I want to see a revolution. I want to see widespread revival in this nation. I want to see hearts on fire by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Matthew 13:44. Again, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and he hid. And for joy over it, he sold all that he has and he bought the field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Jesus had a radical idea that the Father and his kingdom and his love and relationship with him every day was worth giving everything for. He believed it. My goodness. Father, may we have the same revelation that Jesus had of the Father. It's in us because the Spirit is in us. Let us see that you're worth giving everything for. I'm reminded, if my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, we need to know in our spirit the Father. That he's worth everything. If we're not careful, we can forget this idea that Jesus had, that the Father's more valuable than anyone or anything else, including ourselves. That Jesus believed the Father was worth seeking. He even invites us to carry in two of those passages our own version of the cross. That sounds fun. Do you realize that carrying a cross in Jesus' day through town was very painful, very demeaning, and it meant rejection? They weren't cheering you on. Hey, good job, Brian. Way to carry your cross. Buddy, you love the Lord, me too. No, you were hated. You're a criminal on your way to death. That's what it meant to carry your cross in his day. Just be prepared to be rejected. Woo, come on, Holy Ghost. In John 6:66, after Jesus told the crowd to eat his flesh and drink his blood, many of his own disciples left him. And what did he say? Please don't leave. Did he beg them? Come back. I changed my mind. He said, are you leaving too? To the disciples, those closest to him. He didn't say, wait, I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it would cost you everything. What's he saying? Drink my blood and eat my flesh. He's saying, if you don't come become one with me, you'll have no life in you. We have to be one. Amen. You and me and I and you. He didn't beg the crowd. He actually believed the Father and his kingdom were worth giving everything for. And I showed you last week, Jesus would tell stories in parables so people who weren't looking for God wouldn't find him. Because he knew, and he knows today, to see reformation in this country, we need people that are willing to lose everything for him. When we see a crowd, we typically want to keep the crowd. Come on, amen. All the preachers said amen. They come, they show up, there's a big crowd at Christmas. Let's make sure it's a beautiful pageant. Let's make it all watered down so they all feel good. And then maybe they'll come twice a year. No, how about we preach the real message, we preach what Jesus preached, and thank you for coming on this big event, Christmas or Easter or whatever, but give your life wholeheartedly to Christ. He's worth it. How about that? Yeah. Amen. Go ahead and give him praise in this house. When we see a crowd, we want to keep the crowd. When Jesus sees a crowd, he wants to put everyone's heart and motive on display. He wants to find out who is really in this with me. Who really has seen a revelation of the Father. In Luke 14, Jesus said, if you follow me, you have to place me above everything and everyone else. Even your own children. Even your own spouse, he said. Your career, doesn't matter. Whatever it is, you're going to love me more than anyone or anything else. And here's the beauty of it. If you do choose to follow him, he'll say, I will show you how to love all them properly. I'll show you what love is. But I got to come first. They come after me. Last week, we talked about Luke 14 as well and the tower. When he said, hey, which of you start building a tower? You don't want to get halfway through and quit. So Jesus asked for a proper appraisal of the cost of being his disciple. When we give invitations, that's what needs to be said. You need to give a proper appraisal of following him, because we're not just here to celebrate the wedding day, brother. We want to introduce you to Jesus and let you get married to him. Your salvation day is just the beginning. It's not the end. It's not a one-time dying. Yeah, and everybody who knows what I'm saying is like, amen, I know that's true. It's not a one-time dying. Jesus didn't preach the gospel of convenience. He preached the gospel of the kingdom of God living and ruling and reigning in your heart on a daily basis. I looked, but I couldn't find where Jesus said to the crowds when they would turn out. They didn't always turn out, but sometimes they did. He never said, "I'm so glad you're here. Have you checked out our programs? We got great programs here. We got a latte machine. We have contemporary worship even." What? We treat church like Burger King, man. I gotta have it my way. You don't have the worship I like? I'm out of there. You didn't do the song I like? I'm out of there. You're not reading from the right Bible? I'm out of there. You don't have a latte machine? I'm out of here. Where's the smoke screen? He never said anything like those things. Bring a friend next time. Thanks for coming out. See you next week. Bring a friend. Jesus didn't beg people to follow him, but people begged him. And his response wasn't, "Welcome to the gravy train." It wasn't Peter Pan. Here we go. It's a Peter Pan ride of the Spirit. You're going to love following me. Everything's going to be incredible. Luke 9:57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to Jesus, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said, "Foxes have holes, birds in the air have nests, but I don't even know where I'm sleeping tonight. Are you sure you want to follow me?" My goodness. He didn't say, "Here, sign this card, man. Get water baptized. When you're dead, you can go to heaven. I'll see you there." What's he? He's calling us to discipleship. He's calling us to follow him every day and to die to your self-centeredness. Here's the beauty of it. If you live self-centered, you're not doing yourself a favor. If you think for a second living me first is just the greatest life there ever is, you've been deceived. There's laws written into relationships and into your DNA and in your organs and into this world that if you try to center everything on yourself, you will be most miserable. You're made in the image of a God who is selfless and who is loving. You want to thrive? Live in unconditional love. You want to thrive and be healthy? Walk in unconditional love. That's what you're made for. How about this one? Let me throw it on the screen. You might want to take a picture of it. We live in a day where people overemphasize the sermon and underemphasize if anyone's actually walking out. Woo! I'm preaching good. Oh, goodness. Or the Holy Ghost is. I'm not going to take credit for it. He's preaching good. We need to leave this idea behind. This has got to go in the garbage. We have to overemphasize, is anyone actually walking out the truth on a daily basis? That's real love. That's real shepherding. Not attaboy, good preaching, little preacher, and I'll decide whether or not I want to manifest that truth today. We underemphasize, is anyone actually abiding? Which is the key to your daily walk with the Lord. Is anyone having their own relationship with Jesus? I'm going to preach this next week for the four or five that come back. And I said it earlier, but I am not your Moses. I am not going up the mountain for you. You go up the mountain. He unveiled your face. The veil of separation and sin has been torn down. You can behold personally the glory of the Lord and be transformed into his image. You can do that. I don't do that for you. That's a gross disservice. I'll walk up there with you. Amen. I'll go right up the mountain with you and we'll commune with the Father. I'm having dreams of a day where when we come together as a church family on Sunday morning, we're not coming empty, but we're coming so full. And I say to Cheryl, "Oh, you've been with Jesus." Yeah, I've been with Jesus. Josh, he's been with Jesus. Christy, you've been with Jesus all week long. I've been with Jesus too. I've been reading the Red. How about you, Michelle? Michelle says, "I've been reading the Red too." We don't come empty. We come full of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. And we begin to celebrate what it is to be the church. Amen. And be disciples of Jesus. Come on, amen. I'm dreaming it. I'm dreaming it often. gatherings where we've all been up the mountain. We've all been in the Holy of Holies all week long. And everybody's like, whoa, you've been with him too. I've been with him too. Hallelujah. So I'm going to share that next week. I'm not your Moses. And I fear that too many Christians only know a God that other people have told them about. And I want you to know him personally. I honestly believe that where we're at right now, this series and everything that's coming forth is 21 years in the making. Grace Church started 21 years ago in a little house out in Hera. That's how we started. We didn't have any money. We had nothing. But we had him. Now we don't even pass an offering plate, which honestly we never have. In 21 years, we never passed the plate because the Lord said, I live inside every born-again believer. I'll speak to them about what the needs are. You walk with me. You trust me. And all we had was this fire to know Jesus. We wanted to know him. Peel back all the fluff and stuff from church and let's know him. And it grew and it grew and it grew. And it's been, there's been a tension there. Like, well, Lord, this seems churchy, but we don't want to lose sight of you as the main thing. But 21 years, here we are, and I don't want anyone on this planet knowing a God that only other people have told them about. So when we started, our initial vision was know Jesus and make him known. It was it. We want to know him personally. We're going to just meet in a house and make it simple. That's what we're going to be simple. We're going to meet there to know Jesus and fall in love with him. And along the way, that's what we want for other people. Church can't save anybody. Jesus saves people. Jesus delivers people. Jesus heals people. Amen? And how about a church that vends? If we vend anything, like, you know, vendors. If we vend anything, we vend him. He's who we're offering, a relationship with him. And we're not going to tell you it's easy. We're going to tell you there's death involved, and it's yours. But Jesus would look you stone cold in the face with tender love and say, it's worth it. I'm worth it. Follow me. He would say that. Knowing the Father personally is worth it. Many people don't know what the Bible says. They only know what others have said it says. I challenge you, start reading the red. You know, people talk about, I'm going to go through the whole Bible in a year. I'm not even recommending that. Read the red. Go start reading everything Jesus said. He's your Lord and Savior. He's your master. Learn of him. Learn of him. Sit with him and read the red. It'll take you a couple of weeks, depending on how you parse it out. But it's not going to take that long. But man, let's get to know him and know the scriptures for ourselves. So what are you saying, Brother Steve? I'm saying, well, stop listening to everyone else and sit with Jesus yourself. Read the red yourself. I'm just pulling these out of the scriptures. He clearly thought that the kingdom and falling in love with him was worth giving your life for. It's worth everything. And as I've told you, isn't it beautiful that based on the principle of sowing and reaping, it's written, give and it'll be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You give yourself to him, you'll get full. You don't become empty. It's given back to you, heightened. Pressed down, shaking together, and running over with Jesus, who becomes your expression. Amen, somebody. Don't you think Jesus needs to be seen in America today? Jesus needs to be seen. They don't need to see what side you're on unless you're on his side. Amen. So read the red yourself. What else would I say? Eternity is at stake for some of you. Don't dare just take someone else's word for it. Eternity is at stake for you. I can't be your Moses. You need to know him yourself. You sit with him. And yes, we will help you. Yes, we'll walk with you. The guys I meet with on Monday night, I love Monday night. I love walking with them. We help each other. So there's help here. We'll walk together. But you got to decide for yourself. Eternity is at stake. Don't just live by what somebody else tells you about God. Nowhere in this book of Scripture does it say that people prayed a prayer to accept Jesus as their Savior. And then their life was perfect. And then they never had any problems. And one day they just ascended to glory. It's not in there. It says that people were persecuted, murdered, put on trial falsely. People repented and got born again. Forsook even their own family that would disown them if they followed Jesus. And yet they did it. They repented, they got born again, and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Much of the church still lives in John's baptism. John the Baptist came to repent, yes, to call people to repentance, and then water baptism for the remission of sin. Read about Jesus. All four Gospels in Acts chapter 1 says, in the same breath, John came to baptize with water under repentance. Jesus came to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. He came to immerse you in the Spirit of God. So you could have a daily spirit-to-spirit, heart-to-heart relationship. Amen? Man, when they were filled with the Holy Ghost in the upper room, nobody said, okay, well, we'll see you next week. We'll see you next Sunday and we'll meet with God again. They were full of the Holy Ghost, and man, Peter preached a fantastic sermon. This is the same Peter that denied he even knew Jesus to a little girl. What was the difference? Holy Spirit. Amen. In him. Amen. Amen.
Same today.
Thank you, James. So what else did they do? They repented. They got born again. They received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And all that baptism means is that you come under the full influence. You're immersed. You're completely under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And then he would help them die to themselves. And you say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Don't you remember John 3:16? Yes, let's look at it. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him wouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. Can I get an amen? And then I like this one better, 17. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Amen.
Amen. That's fantastic. Keep reading. Everybody say, keep reading.
Keep reading.
Verse 36, John 3. Jesus said, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. There's a balance to that. Now, it doesn't say God hates and his wrath is on these, you know, people. In other words, he has personal hate for them. No. Until faith applies the blood and then the Spirit comes and resides within, it's God's wrath against sin that remains on the sinner. And that's, Jesus came to take that. That's what when he took the veil down, he took it down so there's no more separation. You could be cleansed. He died one time for every human being. So that, everybody say, so that. Spiritual intimacy could be restored with God, who is Spirit. That's what we had in the garden. Spirit to spirit, heart to heart, day to day. Jesus came and got that back for you. Give him praise. Amen. In the house of God. The wrath of God here is just against sin. I mean, after all, God opposes the proud, the self. People who are self-centered and self-righteous don't acknowledge their need for God. So he lovingly and innocently told people, it's easy, you just got to pray the prayer. We don't tell them the cost there is to follow Jesus. And that's where we end up with, well, God didn't help me, Steve. God didn't get me the job. I thought God was going to do this for me. I thought God was going to work all this stuff for me. Doesn't he work for me? You need to flee that kind of thinking. The promises of God are yes and amen. That's true in Christ. But you have to trust him with your life. He's not just a genie in a bottle. You just tell him what to do. Every prayer you pray, he's answering based on, is it conforming you to the image of God's Son? That's how your prayers are filtered through. Amen. It's not all Peter Pan, Disney ride of the Spirit. Jesus said, here's, you got to get this. Jesus was honest. I think God's asking preachers to be honest. This is in the Bible. I'm being honest. I know he loves you. I know he loves the world. But I beg you to get right with God through Jesus Christ so that the wrath of God that he has against sin that's still on you can be removed. Jesus was honest. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. If the enemy came against me, he'll come against you. Look at Matthew 10. This is verse 25, 26, and 28. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher. A servant is like his master. If they called me Beelzebub, which is Lord of the flies, which is a term for he's demon-possessed, he's of the devil, how much more will they call those of his household? 26, therefore, do not fear them. For there is nothing covered that won't be revealed. Nothing hidden that'll not be known. Verse 28, and do not fear those who kill the body, but can't kill the soul. But rather fear him who's able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. That's who we need to fear with a reverential awe and respect. Amen. What's he saying? Stop worrying about other people's opinions. Don't fear them. Don't worry about it. They hated me, they'll hate you. It's self-centered and needy of you when you care too much what everybody else thinks. You believed a lie that you lack something that that person somehow is going to supply you. How many times have we sought something from a person that we could only get from God? That's not even fair to that other person. Right? Please love me. I'm so needy. Please, I can't feel good about myself unless you say I'm good. And it's really bad when the other person is like that. Then we got two ticks and no dog. Everybody just sucking the life out of everybody else. Everybody say, God is my source. He is my shepherd. I shall not want. Jesus saying here, don't worry about what's popular. Don't worry about how many followers you got on Facebook. Don't worry about, young people, how many clicks are on your Instagram. I'm worth way more than all of that. Because we can lose our courage to preach the gospel and follow Jesus when we want to be popular or we want to be accepted by men. We are citizens of a different kingdom. We get our strokes from a different dimension. We get our joy from a different dimension. We get our love from a different dimension. We get our acceptance from a different dimension. We get our peace from a different dimension. We're dimensionalists. What is it? What's an animal that can live in water and on the land? Amphibious. So we can live on the earth and we can live in the spirit. Now, which one should we be deriving our life and breath from? The spirit. Right. I love John 16, 22. I did a video on it this week on Facebook. And oh my goodness, Monday night we were talking about it in our group and we all just fell out basically. I mean, pandemonium broke out because Jesus told the disciples, I'm going to go away and they're going to kill me. And you're going to mourn and you're going to weep and you're going to lament. But I'm going to come back to you in the person of the Spirit. After they kill me, the same Spirit that's in me, you're going to see me again. I'll come to you, but this time I'll come to you by the Spirit. And he said, this joy no one can take from you this time. Why? Because that joy comes from the Spirit, not from the natural realm. Amen. Isn't that incredible? Incredible. He said, you're going to weep. You're going to lament. It's going to be terrible. But don't worry about it. I'll come back to you in the Spirit. You'll see me again because I live. You'll live too. And in that day, no one can take that joy from you. Amen. That's who we are. We're people of the Spirit. Woo, my goodness. I got my hair standing up on the back of my neck. Come on, Holy Ghost. But Steve, the devil is attacking me. What did you expect? It's almost like, Brian, when we come in here, we say, hey, how are you? And you say, I'm great. I'm doing well. The question ought to be, why? How? You got a bullseye on your back, man. Now, there's a balance to all that. But we're like, no, the devil's attacking me. And what do we say? Man, I'm sorry. You're supposed to be on Easy Street by now. Because Jesus didn't preach that. And we sure don't say, well, it must be you, brother, because the formulas we gave you all work. You can't have a relationship with a formula. But the guy you're in love with, the one you're walking your marriage out with on a daily basis, told you in the natural world you'll have tribulation and trial and distress and frustration. But then he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the natural world for you by the Spirit. I gave you the Spirit. And when you die, you get resurrection power. Life comes out of death. Amen. So we've been fed this Western mindset that God works for us. Here's the truth. Turn from your self-centeredness. Turn from it. Repent of it and give all of yourself to Jesus. That's the good news. How about this one? Matthew 26, verse 38. Jesus said to the disciples, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Stay here. Watch with me. Verse 39. He went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed and he said, oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. He's suffering. His body, his soul is crying out. You don't escape this prayer. You get to pray this prayer too. The Lord said, Steve, I didn't pray that prayer so you wouldn't have to. I prayed it so you'd have the courage to walk it out, just like I did. He said, you can never walk away from dying to yourself. It is a reality if you follow me. It's just that our prayers sound different. He's not going to ask you to go to Golgotha. That price has been paid. Amen. Here's what yours sounds like. Father, my soul is deeply, deeply grieved. Do I really have to forgive that person? Because I want to sock him in the head. Amen. How about this one? I'm deeply grieved, Lord. I'm praying. Do you really want me to apologize? Because I was keeping score, and best I can tell, they ought to be apologizing to me. Really, Lord, are you serious? You want me to stay married to them? Lord, you want me to admit I was wrong? This is all dying to self. This is all, Lord, my soul is grieved over this. Lord, you want me to let them go first in traffic? He tried to cut me off. Can I get a witness? When you're following Jesus and you really, your life is not your own, it's really his. You really want his expression in your daily life. There are days it sounds like this. Jesus, do I really have to? Yeah. Do I really have to share the gospel with my neighbor? The guy can't stand me. Or my boss, or that coworker, or whoever it is. You really want me to be loving towards them? Buy a soda? Buy them lunch? Guess what we say, though? We say, okay, Jesus, you are my deepest love. You're my deepest fear. And you're my best friend. Amen. And I will do what you say to do. And here's the beauty of it. Life will come out of it. Yes, life will come out of it. Remember when we talked in your marriage, if you're fighting, if you're having all this dissent and problems, and we talked about who should go first. And I said, whichever one of you is more mature. Oh my God, I'm losing friends right and left. Let me come over here. Isn't that prayer right there? Nevertheless, not I will, but Lord, what you want. Because I want justice. Justice can't heal you. Only forgiveness can heal you. So he'll invite you to forgiveness. That's where he'll take you. Churches think that Jesus is more interested in big piles of salt that has no flavor, rather than a little bit of salt that has a lot of flavor. So, preacher, where do you get that? I'm glad you asked. Luke 14, 33. Likewise, Jesus said, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Gavin, you can go ahead and come. Everybody's like, yes. Hey, I'm preaching to myself. I got to walk this stuff out too. And I mean that sincerely, but I want to. I want to. I really, really think he can change the world.
Yes.
One heart at a time. I believe
Amen.
It.
Amen.
Hey, Matt. So likewise, whoever doesn't forsake, oh, come on, say it, forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Verse 34, salt is good, but what if the salt loses its flavor? How will it be seasoned? Verse 35, unseasoned salt is not fit for the land, nor for the dunghill. But men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, please listen. Oh my goodness. You know what he's saying? Let me get back to my church point. Churches are like, look, we have thousands of granules of salt. But yes, none of them look like him. They amen your sermon, but they don't live it. They know him after what you've told him about him, but they don't know him. They're not seasoned personally by the salt himself. But we have 1,000, Kyle, 1,000 granules of salt. And Jesus said, throw it on the dunghill. And then he said, wait, you're wasting good dung. It's not even fit for the dunghill. And we've built entire ministries on unseasoned salt. Come on, somebody. Are you hearing? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Fall in love with him. Walk with him every day. Read the red yourself. Know the scriptures yourself. Don't just take somebody else's word, not even mine. We've built entire ministries on unseasoned salt, and that day is dead, says the Lord. Come on. The Lord says it. It's over. Matthew 5:13, he says again, as salt loses its flavor, it's not good for anything but to be trampled underfoot. And you say, Brother Steve, I want my salt to have flavor. I want Holy Spirit flavor. I want power to influence. That's what salt is. Are you ready then? Throw open the doors of your heart. Throw open the doors of your mind. Get rid of the idea of caring what anybody else thinks. Open faith in your heart as wide as possible. And stop settling for a version of Christianity in the West that does not work. Amen. Let's stand together. Throw open the doors of your heart this morning. Throw open the doors of your mind. Throw open the doors of faith this morning. And forsake a gospel in the West that is ineffective. It's not the real thing. The real thing is, hey, I'm wooing you, Jesus said. I'm calling you. Take up your cross and follow me. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You're here this morning. You've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior. That's where it's got to start. You receive his Spirit. You receive him. And begin a marriage with him. If that's you, throw your hand up in the air and say, Brother Steve, that's me. Would you pray for me? I want to know Jesus. Anyone? Gathered church, if you're willing to throw open the doors of your heart and the doors of your mind, I want you to step out in the aisle. I want you to actually put feet to your faith. If you're saying this, you know, Brother Steve, this is me. I am serious and I really want to walk with him. And I am ready to quit settling for a version of Christianity that doesn't work. This between you and him. There's no pressure here. This between you and him. You can be honest in your own heart. If you're saying, I'm throwing open the doors of my heart and mind, Steve, and I'm throwing the doors of faith wide open. I'm getting out of this boat and walking with Him. I want you to step into the aisle so we can pray for you. Glory to God. Those of you nearby, would you move to them? Would you quickly move to them as you feel led? Maybe they're not close to you, but go where you're led by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And let's, if we can, let's get at least two or three around each one. Let's be the church to them. Let's be the church to them. Right over here, Brian, Jonathan, right behind you there, Adrian. Right over here as well. Amen. Kyle, you and Nikki, can you come right over here with Diane and Cindy? Glory to His name. Glory to His name. I'm going to start the prayer for each of these, and then those of you around them, you can pray. If you're in the aisle, will you say this after me? With all of your heart, I want you to say, Heavenly Father, I come to you today and I throw open the doors of my heart and the doors of my mind and the doors of faith that I'm going to walk with you and my Lord Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit each and every day. I lay aside the old thinking that doesn't work. I forsake just the gospel of convenience that I walk with you. I give you my heart. I give you my mind. And now fill me with your faith, your Son, and your Spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Now pray, church. Now pray. Now pray. Now pray. Hallelujah. We bless you. We bless you, Lord our God. Just receive. If you're in the aisle, just be receiving. Receive all He has for you. He's the power. He's the glory. He's the truth. He's the Spirit.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.